Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, the West Coast Conference is a tough basketball conference. I think that's been demonstrated. Our next guest, trying to get it figured out on the bluff, University of Portland men's basketball coach Shante Leggins joining us now. You're about to get on a plane headed to BYU.
Yes, we are. We're getting on a plane headed to BYU. Excited about it. Good opportunity for us. Yet another road game, fourth one in a row. To start the WCC play, but we're excited for it. It's going to be a good one for us.
All right. Give me an idea because, you know, when you guys are traveling, I'm assuming you're flying commercial. How do you decide who sits where?
The bigger guys, if they rebound, get to sit in the exit rows. Everybody else can figure it out from there. I'm just kidding. It just depends. We try to keep our bigger guys out of the middle and try to get them as much leg room as possible. So We have a really good guy, Alex Abrams, works really hard, and he tries to figure out them seats. So as long as they rebound, they can sit in that exit row. They got to rebound though. So
tell me what you know now that you didn't know when you got hired at UP. You've coached some games now. You got your program positioned. What do you know now?
I know that it's a tough league. I knew that coming in. I also know that, you got to get depth. You got to have multiple guys that can come in and give you sparks. So that's something that, you know, we're working on now, and you got to get lucky with injuries. You know, we've been kind of hit by the injury bug, but at the same time, the next guy's got to step up, and that's when the depth comes in. And so as you keep building and you keep rolling, you're going to get players that will end up, you know, making a great program. And so I'm looking forward to getting a little bit, these younger guys, a little bit more experience and getting depth. So you just, the older you are, the better you are. And some of our older guys have gotten injured. So, it's kind of been on that. So that's one thing I've learned this year.
10-8 overall, 1-2 in conference play. You'll get BYU. What is it like to be in a conference with Gonzaga?
It's exciting because you know you have to chase them. You know how good they are. And so it really pushes you to be great. And, you know, you have other teams in the league too, but it pushes you to want to be great, and it pushes your team. And, you know, you can kind of get on the my wife would call it insanity, how much, you know, film and things we do in recruiting. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's exciting because you want to chase them. And if you can catch them, you know, you'll be the best team, one of the best teams in the country. And so that's what you strive for. That's what you want to be. That's why you lace them up and you put your jerseys on and you go play. That's why we coach, and you want to be the best. And so you have one of the better teams in the country in your league. So you want to chase those guys down. It may take some time, but we want to keep chasing and keep coming after them.
I want to get at kind of adjustments that are made during the course of a season or maybe even a year. I was talking about this off the top of the show. You know, some people will wait till the off season to try to pivot a little bit and implement new things. Other people will say, no, we have to do this now. Where do you stand as far as, you know, your commitment to the process and making changes or pivoting during the season versus the off season?
Oh man, you make changes daily. You know, you make changes on anything that can happen. You know, you're trying to win every game. And so, you know, for me and our staff, it's, we want to win the next game, whatever we got to do to beat BYU. And if you've seen us play, we started with, you know, we're now playing a 6'5" guy that is playing for our center right now that is averaging 16 or 15 points and 9 rebounds. We want to win the game. And so we're trying to figure out any way to win that game. And so it changes so much daily. Like, you want, it's a set routine, but you're trying to find ways to make your team better daily. And so, like, yeah, some teams keep their starting lineups the whole year. I wish I could with injuries and things like that. You can't. You got to be prepared to make, you know, to make switches, to make adjustments. That's just what you have to do. And every team does it. You know, they may say, oh, we'll wait until the off season. Now, if you're in the NBA or NFL, you're tanking for for a lottery pick or something like that. You're not doing that in college hoops or college football. You're trying to win that next game. And so, you know, whatever you can do to win and whatever you can do to motivate your guys, if that's, you know, hey, we're going to walk it up this game because we can't run with this team because we're tired, or we're going to play fast, or we're going to send everybody to the glass, or we're sending everybody back. You know, it just depends game to game, player to player, you know, and however you got to win, however you got to do to win on Saturday. You know, that's what you're trying to figure out.
You, you know, you're obviously living in a world that's got the transfer portal, but, you know, how can the transfer portal help you? How can it hurt you?
It can help you because you can go get some experience in positions that in positions that you know you need, and you know you're getting a guy that has done it before in college basketball. It hurts you in the fact where, and I, you know, at the same time, I don't think it could hurt you, but it hurts you in the fact that, you know, you can lose a guy that you've built up and you've worked out and you've done everything you possibly could to get him to be the very best, and now he's become that guy, and he's got somebody in his ear saying he can go do that somewhere else. And, you know, you could work with a guy for 3 years and all of a sudden he wants to transfer out, or 2 years and he wants to transfer out, and you've turned him into an all-league guy, but he wants to go see what he can do on a different stage, a bigger stage, so they say. And so, you know, that's where it can hurt you. But, you know, I just think that, you know, you treat these young men right, you do the right things, and you show them you love them, you care about them. I think you build a great relationship and you get those guys to stay. So that's my belief. And if there's a better spot for a young man, then he's got to go find a better spot for himself and deal with that decision as the time goes down. But, you know, I think it's 50-50. Both ways, you know, you can figure it out both ways.
You got a pretty good guard in Chris Austin. What makes him good?
He's strong. He can shoot it. He can post up. He rebounds. He's just scratching the surface. You know, he's in a system now where, you know, it allows him a lot of freedom offensively. And so, you know, he there's a lot for him to learn. But at the same time, he can put the ball in the basket. He's really gotten us out of some holes in some games, and really has become that guy that, you know, I watched him in high school, but he's becoming the guy that, you know, if we need a basket, that's what we turn to. He's really good.
You got BYU tomorrow. Next Thursday, you're home against Pacific. And then you're really into the meat of the conference schedule. As a coach, do you go game to game? Do you go week to week? How do you kind of compartmentalize the schedule when you guys look at the schedule and attack it?
You go game to game, but each coach has a scout, and I'll do all the scouts myself too. But each coach has a specific game they're breaking down, seeing what we can do, and then I'll go through and watch the games too. So you look games ahead, and so, you know, you're looking at our first six games. Our first five out of six games are on the road, and we're playing two of the best teams in our league during that stretch, you know. And so you're looking at it, then you also look at, you know, well, where can we, you know, keep getting better? Where can we keep getting better? And so as you look at the end of our schedule, and again, you know, we've done some good things. Scott Lakin has done some great things, you know, and making some things work for us. Well, we got like 8 of our last 12 at home, you know, so that's a good stretch to look forward to is the home games. But right now we're just trying to get better. And so you look at it, you know, you say, hey, you go out here, you play BYU, you give it your all, you come back home. Our first home game in the WCC, play great. Do everything we need to do to win this game, you know, and then you go back and you play Gonzaga. And so you got your next two or three games, you're playing against top 25 foes. So you're human. You definitely look at it. I love coaches that say, I just look at the next game. Yeah, some do, but in the back of their heads, they know who they play next and they know what they're trying to figure out. And so for me, you know, right now we're doing everything we can to go beat BYU. And then we have a week until Thursday to get ready for Pacific. And so, you know, that's how we look at it. And so, you know, we're doing everything we can to go beat this game. And then next game, we got to be prepared for Pacific. And then we turn around and go back on the road and go play Gonzaga, you know, in Spokane. And so that's exciting, but it's fun. I know the players do it. The fans do it. Everybody does it. And so, you know, you do your best to try to make sure your players are focused and your staff is focused also on the very next game. And it's a huge game for us.
Shontae Leggins is our guest, University of Portland men's basketball coach. You played your college ball at Cal, so you've been in the Pac-12. You were at Eastern Washington before coming to UP. Recruiting to UP, you know, what are you looking for when you're recruiting outside of talent? You know, what areas are, you know, what are the things that jump off the page at you when you're looking at a kid?
Well, you want to recruit winners. You know, you want to recruit guys out of winning programs because they know how to win. They know it's not like I'm going to score 30, 40 points every game and we're going to win every game. You want to get great guys, good character, that really battle, that have a chip on their shoulder. You know, you know, you gotta be hungry for something if you want to be great in the sport, you know, or anything you do, you gotta be hungry for it. So you gotta find guys that, you know, go with the mindset every day of not I have to, but I get to. You know, I get to go to practice. I get to do these things. Not I have to go to practice. You want guys who want to, you know, get to. You want those get to guys, and that's what we talk about a lot. Find guys who want to. You know, I get to do this. This is a great opportunity. I get to go on the road and play Gonzaga. Let's beat them. I get to go play BYU. I get not the, oh, man, we have to go play this game. We have practice today at 7 a.m. No, I get to. And those are the guys you look for, and those are the guys, you know, you want in your program, because those are great young men on and off the court. And obviously you want good students, that because UP really, you know, holds it to a higher standard. So you want those. You want good students too. So there's a lot we look at as we go into the recruiting process.
Now, look, you're not running a charity, so I don't expect you to give scholarships to a bunch of kids from the state of Oregon. But are we developing good high school players in this state, or do we need to do better?
There are so many talented kids, and I want them all to come play for me. But what happens is they're going to places like Texas A&M, they're going to GU, they're going to these other places, and we'll, you know, we'll be here if they want to come back and those types of things. We'll, what they call bounce backs. We're waiting for those. But I want some of these young men out of high school. You know, there's so many talented young men in the city of Portland, just alone, just the city of Portland. You know, I've gone and I've watched all these young guys in the 2024, 23 class, 25 class even, and they're so talented and they're so good. And what's happening is some of these prep schools will come poach one, poach two, and now they got them at, you know, poach three, and now they're in prep schools in different states, and now you're dealing with this, and this. We're looking, and our staff is looking for guys from Oregon, especially Portland, because there's so many kids in this area, you know, that you want to come and try to get to come here. And, you know, you get their transcripts. They're good students, too. So it's like we got to figure out how we can keep these young men home. And there's a lot. And go watch high school basketball if you can, because there's some studs out there, and obviously, I can't say any names, but it's a lot of fun to watch these guys. And we have some offers out to a lot of these young guys in this town. And we're doing our best to try to make sure we cultivate those relationships to get them to come to the University of Portland, because it's going to be something. It's going to be a destination spot. It's not going to be a spot where it's like, oh, well, no one else wants to go to UP. No, it's going to be a destination spot soon. And kids are going to want to come here from all over. And I think we've shown that with the style of play. We just got to, again, like I said, keep building those relationships and keep bringing in, you know, top talent from anywhere we can get right now.
It's interesting because I talk to other coaches and I say, okay, what do you think of UP right now? And they all say he's got those kids playing hard, you know?
Yeah.
And I know we talk about that all the time. Coaches will say, oh, I want my kids to play hard. But how do you actually make that happen?
You play the best players. No one likes to sit on the bench. And so if you're playing the best players, it doesn't matter if they're a walk-on, it doesn't matter if they're a freshman. It doesn't matter if they just got here. If you play the best players, your players will respect that. And they get out there and they work their tails off. Because they want to play. Everybody at the end of the day wants to play in the game. I've been a basketball player. And what motivated me was running line drills, running miles, or sitting my butt down on the bench. Right? And so I didn't want to sit down. I was going to play as hard as I can. I was going to do whatever the coach said. And I was going to do it to the best of my abilities. And so if I didn't play, at least I knew I gave everything. And so I think that's what we're installing into these players, but it comes with everything you do in life. But at the same time, this is what I tell our guys daily. And if you look at our team, we're starting to walk on right now, who's playing, you know, he's probably averaging more points than any freshman in Big Sky and WCC play right now. And so that's the part and those are the things that, you know, you can look to and say, hey, look, this young man here, you know, he doesn't have everything you guys have, but he's outplaying you guys, and now he's starting. He started his first three WCC games, and he's playing 36 minutes a game. So there's a method to all the madness, and they're following it, and they'll play hard because they want to play.
BYU, you get them tomorrow, 6 o'clock at BYU. What do you see on film? Before I cut you loose, what's the scout on them?
Well, they have probably one of the top five shooters in the country, and their point guard is very good, so you can't give them any open looks. They're elite in transition. When you make mistakes and you make bad plays, they're elite in transition. They get out and they run and they get to the three-point line, and they got three really good shooters, and they got a freshman big themselves that's pretty good. And so you got to make sure you're prepared and you get back in defense, but you can't lose their shooters, especially their point guard. Their point guard's a stud. You know, he had the chance to be an All-American this year. He has a chance to make it because he does something at such an elite level, and that's shooting the ball that makes that team really good. You change your defense to how you guard that kid, and And so you got to figure things out. And if he's on and if he's getting loose and we're not doing a good job, it could be a long night. But if we're doing what we're supposed to do, it should be a fun game and very interesting game. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, I obviously went on the road these last two games. And we lost two out of the three on the road, but I thought we were getting better. We had a couple injuries. But if we can play the way I want to play, I think it'll be a fun game on Saturday. So tune in if you can, and I think it should be a good show.
I love it. Shante, I wish you the best. Safe travels today, and we'll catch you down the road.
Really appreciate you having me, man. Go Pilots.
You bet. Shante Liggins, there he is, University of Portland, men's basketball coach. I tell you, when I reached out to him before the show, I said, I want to get you on. You got a big game against BYU. They're kind of getting into the meat of the conference. In their next three, they'll play BYU and Gonzaga. And so really, in the next 8 days, they have three games and two of them against maybe the arguably the best two teams of the WCC. I think it's interesting that they are competitive to this point. I look at their losses as much as I look at their wins. They're sitting at 10-8, but you know, his loss to USD in his first conference game was a overtime loss. You know, earlier in the season, they had a couple of 2-point and a 3-point loss to some decent teams. So I'm looking at that. He's got a really good player in Austin. I think they're gonna be a lot of fun to watch. And when Shante Liggins gets his talent, gets his guys in there, look out, because what he did at Eastern Washington and what he's done everywhere he's been is attract players that are better than the players that were at that university prior to him arriving. I think the talent level at UP is going to go up under Shante Liggins. I think it's a big ask to ask him to break into the top tier of this conference, but I think right now we can all look at the University of Portland, and I think we can look at where they are in the conference and go, you know, they should be in that second tier with, you know, within a year or so. And look out. I think the trajectory is headed that way. Our big splash is coming up. We'll talk some NFL. We'll talk about the Pac-12 conference. All still ahead. Leave it here. Well, we got a little bit of breaking news during the show, and it will be our big splash. The University of Oregon football fans, pay attention. Here we go.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
But
the big splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, the University of Oregon's, well, formerly Oregon running back, Travis Dye, has now committed to USC. He will be joining Lincoln Riley. He will be in a Trojans uniform. I just tweeted it out. But Travis Dye, Baby Dye, is now headed home, so to speak, to play at USC. I think if you are an Oregon fan, this is disappointing. This is exactly what you don't need. I think it's a great example, too, about of the transfer portal and what can happen. But I think, you know, right now, looking at reading the tea leaves, Lincoln Riley not just recruiting other players for, you know, incoming players, but also landing a big one from the University of Oregon. I want to talk about this. How impactful is this? Are you disappointed as an Oregon fan, or do you still say, hey, the transfer portal is a good thing? This is just the cost of doing business. This kind of stuff is going to happen. 503-417-7575 is the phone number. Don't blame Dye. Kind of wondering, did he get something in the name, image, likeness space? And just the optics on this, I think, not great for Oregon in losing a player that I think Dan Lanning would certainly love to have on his side rather than the other side. Let's go to the phone lines. Jake's in Beaverton. Jake, Travis Dye to USC. What do you make of it?
Oksana, thank you for having me on. I'm really glad you brought up NIL because as a lifelong Oregon fan, this acquisition by USC is huge news. You know, Travis Dye was our number one producer in offense this year, so losing him is gigantic. To speak on the NIL portion, it seems as of right now, USC is outdueling Oregon in the NIL department with transfer portal recruiting. They've gotten Brennan Rice, yep. Travis Dye, Arizona got Jacob Cowling. makes me, I guess the conclusion I want to bring to you is, why are we getting out-dueled in the NIL era of recruiting when we have a guy by the name of Phil Knight and we have a company working with U of O by the name of Division Street? It seems like we should be able to compete toe-to-toe with these guys, but we're not.
Yeah, I wonder how much of the die thing, though, has to do with, you know, him being...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.